In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you." This is the word of the Lord. There are no entitlements in the kingdom of heaven. Resentment, jealousy, or envy of other Christians has no place in the church. Jesus is the landowner in the vineyard. He employs his workers, and it's an interesting expression, isn't it? To speak about the call to faith and being saved by grace as employment. But he does it for a reason. You see, there are activities associated with the Christian faith in Christ Jesus and the grace of God. In other words, because we believe in the Lord Jesus and trust in the free gift of salvation in him, we pray. That is an activity. We confess our sins. That is an activity. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus, pastors preach, they study the scriptures, they visit the sick and the dying. They extend themselves in their daily work because they believe in the grace of God. The Christian in his or her vocation in life, because of faith in the grace of God, works. A husband shoulders the burden of his wife, caring for her, protecting her, being merciful to her. The mother cares for her children, expending herself out of faith in the grace of God, not only in childbirth, but in child rearing and in the compassion and love for the family. There's lots of work that we do as Christians, isn't there? But for us as Christians, it is the grace of God, that undeserved forgiveness and mercy of the Lord Jesus, that is the strength of our life, that animates our life and our life's work. So it becomes an expression of our faith in the grace of God when we faithfully live in our vocation. Yet we are all prone to resent those who aren't as faithful as we are, who don't seem to be doing what God has called them to do in their work as Christians. Let me tell you a story from the New Testament scriptures. John Mark was likely the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Let go of everything and follow me." And on that occasion, he didn't have the strength to do it. Nor do any of us, by our own reason or strength, can we believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, come to him, or follow him in our life's work. So John Mark went away sad. He was very likely the young man who followed Jesus and the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, wearing only his linen garment, as Jesus prayed there, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. And when they arrested Jesus and tried to grab this young man, he fled naked, stripped of everything. What a great picture of what it is to be a Christian, because apart from the clothing that we have in Jesus, we're nothing. We must be clothed with his righteousness. We must receive his grace. And it is through the things in our life that we struggle against, particularly the weaknesses of our own sinful nature in our life's work as Christians, that we are taught dependence upon the grace of God. And by his grace, he calls us to flee to him again in prayer, confessing our sin, renouncing the ways of the flesh and our own weaknesses, and saying, Lord, help me. Fast forward in the ministry of John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He was the nephew of Barnabas, the man whose very name means son of encouragement. It was a name given to him because Barnabas never failed to give the encouragement of the grace of God to those who needed it, like his nephew. But also like the Apostle Paul. For after Saul of Tarsus was converted, it was Barnabas who encouraged Saul of Tarsus and encouraged the apostles and the church in Jerusalem to receive that one who once was an enemy of the gospel and tried to destroy it. Over 10 years later, Barnabas and Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey, took with them John Mark. And they first sailed to Barnabas' home area, the island of Cyprus. And they preached the gospel there in the synagogues of the Jews and even gave testimony to the proconsul Sergius Paulus. It was a successful missionary trip to Cyprus. And then they sailed to the mainland of Asia Minor. And that was rugged country. There were bandits and there were thieves. There was the threat of disease and sickness. And as we learn from Paul's first missionary journey, there was terrible persecution. Paul himself was nearly stoned to death. Soon after they landed on the mainland, John Mark didn't have the strength to continue in the work, and he returned to Jerusalem. When Barnabas, on the second missionary journey, wanted to take John Mark again, Paul said, absolutely not, and St. Luke records in the book of Acts that there was no small dispute among these brothers in Christ. So intense and fierce was the dispute, you can imagine. I don't want that lily-livered John Mark with us. That would have been characteristic of Paul's personality. And so they divided at that time. Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul went with Silas. Barnabas went back to the island of Cyprus, and Paul and Silas visited the churches in Asia Minor, founded on the first missionary journey, and then went on to Macedonia and Greece in the European continent. Through the things that we suffer in our life's work as Christians, in other words, the things that the gospel compels us to do, but then we fall short of doing that work, like John Mark, who didn't have the strength to continue on that first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, or like Paul himself, who resented Mark and wanted nothing to do with him because of his weakness. Through those experiences, the Lord, by his grace, taught them to rely even in their work as Christians, even in their calling as Christians, to live exclusively by grace. We don't know the entire circumstance of the reconciliation, but we do know that toward the end of Paul's ministry, he pleaded to have John Mark sent to him as a dear son and brother in the faith. Through the things that we fail to do as husbands and wives, as pastors and sheep, through the things that we fail to do in our life's work as Christians, that we want with all our heart to do, the Lord teaches us to pray, to confess our sins, to do it throughout our lives, and to learn total and utter dependence upon the grace of God, regardless of what hour of the day we're called to faith, or how frequently the call of the gospel of God's grace comes to us. In the parable, the workers are all paid the same wage, regardless of when they started on the job. How wonderfully politically incorrect that is. They should have filed a grievance. For Jesus' concept of work to teach us the concept of grace and salvation in Christ turns our thinking upside down. Both Paul and John Mark and Barnabas, the son of encouragement, were taught the all-sufficiency of God's grace, which alone is the engine by which we work faithfully in our calling as Christians. Salvation in Christ and our entire life of Christian service is one of grace, and grace alone. As Christians, we are given what we don't deserve: forgiveness, life, salvation. Who of us deserves this? The Holy Spirit calls us to faith in Christ, and then he calls us to live that faith in the very concrete expressions of the Christian faith, in our prayers that claim his promises, in renunciation on a regular basis throughout our life of devil world and our own Adamic sinful nature, that we might learn total and utter dependence upon the grace of God. So our vocation as Christians becomes the cross upon which the sinful flesh of self-righteousness and pride is crucified. In the parable, the landowner was good because he was the source of everything. Without the landowner, there is no vineyard to work in. In other words, you could say, without Jesus' death upon the cross, none of us could live. None of us would have a single solitary thing to do in thanksgiving to God within his church. Without the landowner, there's no vineyard, there's no money to pay the workers, there is no work to do whatsoever. He's the source of everything. The Lord is good because his love is the source of everything we are and have as Christians. I'm sure that the Apostle Paul, over time, learned to see in the weakness of John Mark the same weakness that was a part of his own nature, though it exhibited itself in a different way. From the salvation of the Lord Jesus to the gifts of life, marriage, family, to our life's work, talents, abilities, to the callings we have in the church, it is all a gift of God's grace, no matter how great or humble those tasks and activities may be. There are no entitlements in the kingdom of heaven, only gifts of grace that Jesus earned for us. There is no jealousy, envy, resentment of one another, because Jesus has taken it all away in his death upon the cross. And yet we experience those things, that through the experience of our own weaknesses, like Paul and John Mark with each other, we might learn to return to his grace and to look nowhere else for the strength to live in our callings. In the name of Jesus, amen.